Welcome back. This is the second hour of Spingola Speaks. This is Deanna Spingola. Our guest today is Charles Kraft, and that is spelled K-R-A-F-F-T. His website is charleskraft.com. Please go there and look at his images. They're just fascinating, beautiful. He is a prominent Seattle artist. And we also have Carl Rattle has agreed to join us. In as much as we're talking about anti-Semitism, he could probably contribute much to our discussion. It is amazing that anti-Semitism has taken on this gigantic persona that you can't ask questions. And all you said was that you thought, let's see, what did you say exactly? That you thought, I quote, "I believe the Holocaust is a myth." And you said that on July 28th, 2012. I guess if you don't believe that the Germans had a deliberate policy to exterminate all of the Jews in Europe and that they exterminated 6 million, that you could qualify as a Holocaust denier, correct?
Are you talking to me?
Uh-huh.
Or you're talking to Carl?
Nope, Carl's not with us yet.
Oh, I'm sorry. I have some phone problems going on here in the background. My landline.
Oh, okay.
Would you ask me that question again? I was trying to fix it while you were talking.
Okay.
Yes, I did say the Holocaust was a myth, but... Okay. I'm sorry. I'm getting some interruption here, but... ask me the question again. I'm sorry.
Okay. What I said was that if people do not believe, if they do not accept the theory that Germany was out to destroy, to exterminate every Jew in Europe, and that they had a deliberate policy to do that, and if you do not believe that they exterminated 6 million Jews, when in fact there weren't 6 million Jews in Europe to begin with, but if you don't believe that, then you could qualify as a Holocaust denier.
Right.
Correct?
Correct. You're labeled a denier if you do not accept everything that was decided at the Nuremberg trials in 1945. It was set in stone, the Holocaust story. So it really hasn't changed since then, and any doubt about any portion of it is dangerous for somebody to declare publicly. So it's best just to keep it to yourself if you don't want to be excoriated, if you don't believe all of the received history on this event.
Right. And of course, the Nuremberg trial, the International Military Tribunal, was set up by the Allies to promote their side of how the war went down. And you had countries that had been bombing Germany into the Dark Ages. What I would refer to as a real Holocaust, World War II, you had those people trying the Germans and using torture to extract confessions from them. Anyway, we are going to a quick break, and we will be back after a word from our sponsors, and we'll pick this up on the other side. Be right back.
Ground beef, eggs, butter, cheese, soup, sandwiches, strawberries, ice cream, coffee, and more. What do these foods have in common? They all come in storable, long shelf life food for you to save and use in uncertain times. Rather, if it is a meal or a snack for a family or just yourself, CampingSurvival.com offers a huge variety of storable food for you to be prepared anytime. Go to CampingSurvival.com to order all your food. Eat today, save it for tomorrow, or store it for years to come. CampingSurvival.com sells healthy, nutritious, storable food in number 10 cans and pouches. Order online today at CampingSurvival.com. Use code FREEDOM and receive 5% off. CampingSurvival.com. Remember, save 5% off with code FREEDOM at CampingSurvival.com on all your prepared food needs. Time to relax and unwind. What better way to do so than with Santa Barbara Bells? For over 25 years, our wind chimes have been helping people to relax and enjoy life. Turn your home environment into a pleasurable experience. From the small overture chime to the large super bass, you will find just the right chime to enjoy. All wood, strings, and cordage are protected for long life, and all parts are rust-proof. You have 10 sizes to choose from. To see and hear more of the chimes, go to SantaBarbaraBells.com or call us at 805-733-1513. Santa Barbara Bells is currently having a springtime sale. Come to the website and save up to 50% on all of our chimes. SantaBarbaraBells.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Our guest today is Charles Kraft. His website is charlescraft.com. And Carl Rattle is going to join us, and his website is SemiticController.blogspot.com. So, welcome, Charles and Carl.
Are you both there? I'm back, but I'm wondering if Carl's with us.
Okay. Maybe not. Carl, are you there? Okay, maybe not. And you were talking about Nuremberg, and of course that was a stacked trial, and they extracted the confessions via torture in the basement. And you can also look at Auschwitz. The sign in front of Auschwitz used to say 4 million killed, and now it's down to 1.5 million. And in 1992, I believe the New York Times mentioned that there were 38,000 killed there. So
I didn't hear about the new figure, but I heard about the reduction from 4 to 1.2. I didn't hear about 38,000, you say?
Mm-hmm. That there were about 78,000 total who died there, and most of those died as a result of the Allied bombing in the last months of the war. And the typhoid and the typhus epidemics that occurred because of the transportation and the lack of food and everything else.
That's one of the things I've learned from this experience, that people don't understand that there could food and medicine could not be delivered to those camps for months before they were liberated. And that's why those people who were dying of typhus and dying of starvation looked the way they did when the Allies arrived.
Right. Actually, there were a lot of the German citizens that looked the same way. in certain areas because of the lack of food. And this wasn't just something that was happening in the camps, but there was a lot of suffering throughout Germany, and that was because of the bombardment. In fact, the Allies, in the same way that they sanctioned Iraq, also sanctioned and prevented shipping into Germany.
Yeah. There's been a couple of books about post-war population ethnic cleansing of Germans from Eastern Europe, and then these POW camps for the German prisoners of war, where they were not people weren't allowed to bring them any food. They starved in these big pens that were erected for them.
Right. You're talking about James Back and his other losses?
Yeah, and I just picked up a new book by James Back, and I don't know the title of it, but it's a...
Crimes and Mercies.
Crimes and Mercies, yeah.
Oh, is that you, Carl?
It is.
Are you eavesdropping?
Yes.
I blessed your heart. thank
listening. You.
Well, so I guess we're all Holocaust deniers if we just don't accept the 6 million number. And as I mentioned before, before World War II ever began, there were 236 references to this magical number, 6 million. And so anybody that says, well, I don't believe that 6 million die, even if you believe that 5 million, then you're a Holocaust denier. What are your thoughts, Carl?
That's correct. Well, put it this way, there's far more than 270-something references. It's just no one's actually counted them all yet, because 6 million turns up in a lot of the literature on the pogroms from the Damascus trial of 1840 onwards. So from the 1880s to 1945, we find 6 million Jews referred to constantly. And as I've said many times before, it is not a population statistic. It's not derived from population statistics. The likeliest origin is from a rabbinical concept called the Guzma, where 600,000, which is the number of the biblical Israelites, is multiplied by a number. The number is meant to indicate the scale of a Shoah event, literally a catastrophe event. That means that basically the Holocaust started life as a misunderstanding between the a rabbi saying, yes, we've lost 6 million Jews, and a secular Jew saying, oh, that's 6 million. Rather than it being understood as being sort of a literal, so it's being someone saying, "Oh, 6 million, we lost a lot. It's 10 times worse than the Exodus kind of thing." That's where it comes from.
Right.
Oh, what? Okay.
And then when you consider some of the reports, for instance, in the book that Ernst Sundel reproduced, I believe it's chapter 2, that talks about the work that the International Committee of the Red Cross conducted, and they went into the camps, and they said that, you know, we didn't see any gas chambers, we didn't see any of these things that all these people are talking about. In fact, there were some Vatican representatives that worked with the International Red Cross, and they said these stories of genocide just are not true. And in fact, there were many, many Jews that were never incarcerated during the war in any of the German-occupied territories. They were allowed to live at home. And last week, I had a gentleman on, Rodney Martin, and we were talking about the recent newspaper story in the New York Times where two researchers at the United States Holocaust Memorial Museum came up with a figure that there was 42,500 camps and other killing facilities. And so they must have been referring to these private homes that the Jews were allowed to live in throughout the war. And that the figure that was actually incarcerated was 1.5 million. And certainly many of those people survived the war.
I was going to say that figure actually isn't the private home thing. What they're doing, it's called, it's the new Holocaust theory. It's called Holocaust by Bullets, whereby what they're saying is there's 4,000 killing sites, but only a few of those were major industrialized places of gassing and what have you. Rather, the 4,000 is German troops going to a village and shooting Jews kind of thing. That's their Holocaust now. Because while it's technically plausible, it doesn't seem, it's still far out there in terms of could the Germans have done it fighting possibly the biggest war in human history. And, you know, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And they're constantly backtracking now. Every year now we're finding out more things that can't possibly have happened. Yet the Jews will not let the gas chambers go because the gas chambers are the only things that stop the Holocaust, in quotes, being, well, as being unique, being special. Because what happens if you take away the gas chambers? Well, they're just like Stalin shooting, I don't know, 6 million Ukrainians or something. It's, you know, there's no differential there. The differential that they call the industrialization of death is simply the gas chambers. And without the gas chambers, they've got nothing. And the gas chambers, unfortunately for them, make no sense at all. And nor do they have any evidence for them, as the fact they've had 70 to 80 years, and they still cannot find a gas chamber that was actually built as a gas chamber, as opposed to being in quotes a gas chamber when it's an underground facility with one door in, one door out, above below six crematoria ovens. That isn't a gas chamber. If you want to look at the real gas chambers the Germans built around the 1930s, go to the euthanasia areas, where they actually are built like gas chambers, as real gas chambers. And yes, some of them were disguised as showers. But at the same time, they're actually proof against gas, and they were using carbon monoxide, which was produced by the waste product by IG Farben, next to Auschwitz. So why not use carbon monoxide?
Carl, you believe that the euthanasia program was conducted using carbon monoxide gas, or do you think that
it was conducted using our carbon monoxide?
Where was it conducted?
It was a condition in old mental hospitals. They definitely did it.
Mental hospitals?
Yeah, because we've actually got lists of the victims, and there is some good evidence that actually they did gas people, and it was stopped. But they gassed them efficiently,
You're talking about the overall name of this program was T4, correct?
Yes, T4, sorry, correct. Sorry, I didn't use the actual program. Actually on T4.
How many people did they gas?
A few thousand. And they gassed them in, you know, ones, twos, threes kind of thing. It was the reason we know it's probably genuine is because, for example, the way they did the death certificates. They said the death certificate, this person said had died of appendicitis. Yet the victim's family would turn around and say, no, they had their appendix cut out already. So it didn't make any sense. And then after the war, it came out that yes, this was done. But then again, this has never been massively criticized because this was good science at the time. And quite a few states were doing things like it, like Sweden, the US, and the Tuskegee Airmen, that kind of thing, that kind of, euthanasia style program on eugenics system. And in many ways, Action T4 disproves the Holocaust, because the Germans can build decent gas chambers. They can use a gas that is made in Auschwitz, of all places, which is a lot better than Zyklon B, because remember, Zyklon B requires oil to make. Oil was a very precious resource in the middle of World War II, considering the Germans only had one major sort of oil field in Romania to get that stuff from. So in many ways, it's a good way to disprove it, because it says, well, yeah, it happened. But then again, compare the Holocaust of the Jews, in quotes, with the Holocaust, with the killing of the mental patients.
All righty. Gentlemen, we are going to a 3-minute break. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors.
Our Are you facing foreclosure? Worried about late payments? Fight back and stay in your home. Zero Debt Guaranteed can help. We'll send you a free ebook just for calling 800-477-9256. Or go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Get the details on how to remove your risk to your debt. And so important to many homeowners today, how to stop foreclosure.
Forget loan modification.
The Zero Debt in 90 Days system can show you how to get the bank to pay your property taxes and insurance while stopping your foreclosure.
Without paying one dime.
You can take control. Stop foreclosure. Protect your cash, assets, wages, property, and sleep peacefully at night.
We've been helping people for over 18 years.
Call Zero Debt Guaranteed, 800-477-9256. Ask for free information, no obligation. That's 800-477-9256. Or visit ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com now.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us at 1-877-605-9200.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guests today are Charles Kraft. His website is charleskraft.com, and Carl Rattle, and his website is semiticcontroversies.blogspot.com. Now, that's fascinating about the T4 and the few thousand that were killed, and that they actually did do that adjacent Auschwitz.
No, it's just before Auschwitz, actually. In the mid-1930s.
Oh, okay.
It was stopped because it came to light, and the Archbishop of Munich, I can't remember his name off the top of my head, publicly said, this is happening, and the Third Reich backed down. But the interesting thing about it is the fact that the T4 was where the Germans didn't deny it, they just said, sorry, okay, we've done this, and they backed off. But with the Holocaust, the Jews were purporting atrocity propaganda as early as 1941, 1942. Why didn't the Germans back off? Well, very simply, the Germans had heard it all before. In World War One, one of the things that frequently was spread against the Germans by the Russian authorities and the British and French authorities was that they were massacring Jews, and vice versa. So this was something to them, it was just normal. It was kind of, they expected this. What they didn't expect was the entirety of the Holocaust claims that came to dominate Allied propaganda in the last years of the war. It's just interesting.
Carl, have you thought that maybe, rather than gassing feeble-minded and the severely handicapped, that they administered an injection and that psyops... Pardon me?
Well, they did that as well. They did kill some of them by injection, by lethal injection. But I think it was humanitarian motives that said, okay, well, gassing is probably more preferable considering in CO gassing, all you do is go to sleep, pretty much.
Well, that's all it. You do is go to sleep with an injection.
Yeah, but I mean, if you have an injection in your arm, you know that you're going to have, you've got, I don't know, you have to do it more publicly and it's not so nice. It's much more personal, if you like, Charles. If you're killing someone, if a doctor's got an injection, he's putting that in someone's arm. That's, you know, there's a very personal form of killing. It's much like the reason you don't tend to find people using hang anymore, because the hangman has to actually physically kill someone. Much the same reason.
Okay. Alrighty.
The phone goes off.
It's very interesting. So this was in the 30s that they were practicing eugenics, and they were practicing eugenics in many other countries, including the United States.
Yes, exactly.
And who started this?
Who started it?
The Rockefellers at Cold Spring. Did they start this whole program?
Cold Spring was the origin of a lot of it. Because it was the origin of the American eugenics movement, and then the Germans took on a lot of what Cold Spring did, and they said, okay, a man named Eugen Fischer was the German brainchild behind it, and he was a major supporter of the NSDAP quite early on. So they had this eugenics movement, and part of it was you got rid of the mentally deficient, because it was felt that it was felt to be more hereditary than it is today. So it was a kind of, as you would deal with an illness, you get rid of the cause, and the cause is bad genes, so thus we get rid of the particularly bad ones as a form of, is what they called it, mercy killing. And as I said, it actually disproves the Holocaust in many respects, because the Germans could build good gas chambers, they could use them, and they were quite willing to back down on these issues. But the question is, why didn't they follow T4 in the same way with the, in quotes, the Holocaust? Because we're supposed to believe they hacked holes in air raid shelters, and put these big chimneys in them that no one's ever found, and it's just, you know, it's implausible that the Germans, these people who are very efficient, they love, you know, order, would do basically jerry-rig gas chambers for purpose-built killing. It doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever. And the more you look into the Holocaust, the more you realize it's complete gosh, because it's just filled with the assumption that the Germans, that these people died, therefore there must be some way of killing them. So they keep trying to find new ways. And there's Nick Terry, pro-Holocaust blogger, really. He remarked to a friend of mine that when my friend brought up the fact that there is no reasonable proof of the gassing, he said, it doesn't matter, they were killed somehow. That was his response to a friend of mine who's also a historian. And my friend just turned around and said, no, that doesn't work. History doesn't work like that. And that's the fundamental thing people have to get past, this idea that there must be proof because everyone believes that there are 6 million dead Jews, when even historians know, as you remarked earlier, that the actual death toll is somewhere, I suppose the death toll anyway, is between 3.5 and 5.5, regardless of whether you're, in quotes, a Holocaust denier. It's all, you know, it's just, I don't even know why historians believe it other than they feel they have to, because it's, even the mainstream historians avoid Holocaust studies, because Holocaust studies is renowned for producing kooks.
We are going to break. We will be right back after a word from our sponsors.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Global Healer Academy's new summer specials. Our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale. Organic liquid iodine, liquid cal, Meg, vitamin D, CoQ10 with Hawthorne, colon enhancer, Super 2, natural laxative, our exceptional product, Connexin, memory power, and Super Male and Femplex. All on sale for the summer at herbalhealer.com. Also, 10% off on the HHA Survival Course. This is an important time to have this information. Might save your life. Nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education. herbalhealer.com. Free online newsletter. Quality natural medicine supplier since 1988. We ship the same day you place your order. Free 128-page catalog with your first order. Go to herbalhealer.com today. herbalhealer.com.
As many of you know, natural supplements are fantastic for your body and have zero side effects. You need to restore your body's natural balance. TerraVim strives to carry only the highest quality dietary supplements and natural vitamins that can be beneficial in helping your body recover from the impact of daily stress, allergens, illness, environmental pollution, and the aging process. Why buy from TerraVim? Simple. TerraVim provides a rewards program. Earn $1 for every $10 spent, free health consultations, free shipping on all orders, and an additional 10% discount on every order when you mention the coupon code RBN. Call 866-647-4372. That's 866-647-4372, or go to TerraVim.com. That's TerraVim.com. TerraVim, the best supplements on earth.
In an emergency situation, would you drink contaminated water? You could if you had the amazing Life Straw from MyPatriotSupply.com. Life Straw is the most advanced personal water filter available today. It filters contaminated water from almost any source. Life Straw is lightweight and compact, perfect for hiking, camping, or in an emergency like a flood. Life Straw is easy to clean, comes with a one-year warranty, and has been used worldwide since 2005. Get the amazing Life Straw personal water filter at MyPatriotSupply.com. Plus, check out Survival Seed Vault, 20 seed varieties for only $37.95, Tatler canning lids, long-term storable foods as low as $69.95, and much more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Enjoy stress-free shipping on all orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927 or visit MyPatriotSupply.com. That's 866-229-0927, MyPatriotSupply.com, for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence.
Charles Kraft. His website is charlescraft.com, and Carl Rattle, and his website is SemiticController.blogspot.com. And Carl, you mentioned just before we went off the just before we went to break that Holocaust Studies is renowned for producing a lot of kooks. Now, you were you referring to the researchers, and I use that term lightly, associated with the taxpayer funded Holocaust Memorial Museum?
I'm referring more broadly. The USHMM is actually fairly bad, but it's more broad than that. Richard Overy is a great example. He's a British historian, and he's a, in quotes, an authority on the Third Reich. However, he's also one of these people who he's made these anti, what he calls anti-denier arguments, but they're based on nothing. If you look at his notations, they're based on very light evidence and very, very speculative. And he also said, him and Richard Evans, who's another one, have said that what happened to the Germans after the war is justifiable.
Oh.
Openly.
Well, we have Americans say that all the time. Say, oh, well, they deserved it.
Yeah, they deserved it. Okay, so how does the near killing of about 10 million people is deserved by the killing of six? Not sure how that one works.
Indeed.
It's just a bit, it's like doublethink almost. People trying to say, well, okay, well, it doesn't matter because there were Germans. Well, yes, it does. it matters fundamentally, because if the Holocaust isn't true, that means that 10 million Germans, say, were killed for nothing. That means that the Jews have been extorting trillions for, well, decades. And, well, what's going to happen then, all of a sudden? If the Jews have been doing that, then let me be frank. The likelihood is, if that ever became mainstream, that there would be a Holocaust. Because people just wouldn't react to that well at all. I mean, if somebody had been conning you for years over alleged atrocities that never existed, then they've got, you know, without that, then there is no basis for Israel. There is no basis for a lot of the changes that have happened in the Western world since 1945.
No basis for hate speech laws.
Yeah, that's another one. It's gone completely. And all of a sudden, you know, where does that leave the left? Where does that leave liberals? Where does that leave the people who have made it their career to, in quotes, get everyone to remember? And it's one big industry, and it's almost like it needs breaking open. And I think it's a bit like it was with the Israel lobby. The Israel lobby as a concept was broken into by Walter Mearsheimer, because the Jews attacked them in the same way, but they couldn't stop the critique, because the critique, everyone said, okay, well, now we can talk about it. They began talking about it, and Mearsheimer stood their ground, and the Jews now have lost that particular one, and now they're trying to counter it by speculating the existence of what they call the Arab lobby, using the petrodollar, old petrodollar conspiracy from the left. It's just, you know, tactics, if you like, because they need to. If someone was able to break that open, then I think something similar would happen, much as David Irving did try to do it, because he thought it would happen soon, but it didn't. Because since it's been institutionalized, it's become oh so much harder. But if, for example, the Golden Dawn won in Greece, that would be interesting. Because if you get a couple of governments who disagree with the Holocaust as a theory in Europe, within this, you know, zone of what they call hate speech and Holocaust denial laws, then all of a sudden that opens up a big can of worms.
Hungary's has just, I believe, announced that they're not going to pay any more Holocaust reparations. Is that
true? So yes, that's true.
Leaning towards, this new attitude about reparations.
Yeah, and if you read the latest Jewish news, you'll find that they're complaining an awful lot at the moment about Hungary, Austria, Greece, and as well as France, because these are the countries where you've got strong patriotic parties who are in power or close to coming to power, in some degree, where they're saying, we're not having anything to do with this anymore. It's blatantly a lie. We all know it's a lie. And the people who are suggesting it's true tend to have a very personal interest in it, which is why, for example, they keep finding these Holocaust survivors. Why, if this atrocity happened, do we have so many of these people? And why do all of a sudden do we need to this new theory from the Jews that Holocaust trauma is passed on generation to generation, which is possibly the most idiotic idea I've heard in quite some time, and that's saying a lot.
Third generation survivors. That's completely crazy that the grandchildren of a survivor could be as traumatized as the survivor.
Yes, yeah, isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it really is. And they talk about it as if this is some sort of new psychiatric or psychological discovery. It really isn't. It's just to perpetuate this guilt that is being used to extort money from nations, I think.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the best thing is that they started asking for money for these third-generation Holocaust survivors about, must have been a couple of years back, they started this trend based on some, I can't remember the Jewish psychologist's name from Israel, claim that there's this post-traumatic stress disorder that comes down to the children of Holocaust survivors, and by the very logic, it would include every single Jew on the planet. It's just this you know, it's this concept of that, you know, that PTSD, for example, or something like it, could come down to the children of soldiers. I mean, does that apply? No. But so why does it happen with the Holocaust? It's just about identity. And the fact that Jewish identity now is so rooted in the Holocaust, they can't give it up, even though it's been proven time and time again to be completely ahistorical and to be based on nothing more than wartime propaganda. And, you know, the revisionists have covered so much ground, so, you know, they can't really go head-to-head with the revisionists, because if they could defeat the revisionists, they wouldn't have created laws against the revisionists.
Well, How true! In 16 countries, I mean, you get arrested for this.
Oh, yeah, you do. I mean, even to the point where in Germany, one historian, I can't remember his name, in the 1990s, was accused of being a Holocaust revisionist, and he shot himself. Because he knew what it would mean to him. It would mean he'd be fired. He would lose his livelihood, his family's livelihood, his reputation, everything. He just said, you know, I can't deal with this, and he shot himself, as I recall. It's just not.
There was a revisionist in Poland that was found dead in his car. He'd lost everything. He'd lost his family. He'd lost his job. He was a university teacher. He'd been shamed, and we don't know if he was killed or if he committed suicide, but he was just found dead in his car.
I remember that, actually. That was horrendous.
It was tragic. Yeah.
It's also the fact that the Holocaust controversies, if you know that crowd of Charles, as I'm sure you do.
Yeah, I do.
Started all this false sort of thing about, oh, how terrible, but then, oh, yay, he's dead, kind of thing. It went on there. And it wasn't, at least, I mean, that's why it's why I will have no truck. I won't even debate Roberto and co, because they're fundamentally horrible people. And I know because they threatened my wife before.
They've
actually done that. Yeah, they threatened my wife when she told them she was going to go to Poland and film Treblinka. They started threatening to call the police on her, so they wanted to know where and when so they could call the police.
It's just like, oh my goodness.
What are these people on? No, they're not, you know. People like that, generally speaking, when I say they're not nice, I mean, I'll debate anyone, but I won't debate people who are interested in ruining people's lives, because there's a lot of people out there in the Holocaust camp whose sole job it is to do that, and they don't care about whether or not you're right. They just want you out the way because you're in their way, if you like. You're in their way of claiming that these atrocities happened, when I think the evidence says completely the opposite, that they're not likely to have happened at all. And that if you look at the totality of the evidence and you say, well, how do I get to a mass killing? You say, well, no, I can't really, because all I'm getting is inferences everywhere. And the only way I can interpret those inferences to be a mass killing is if I believe the mass killing happened before. So I believe that happened. Therefore, those inferences must refer to that, as opposed to those inferences referring to, you know, part of the big discussion in German policy on the Jews. Relation to emigration, to what do we do with them? Do we stick to making territory? Classic one was Noakes and Priddams, a reader from a couple of years back when I was an undergraduate. It was brilliant because there was no, in the entire of the reader, it was specifically on the Holocaust, there was no mention of exterminating Jews at all. All it was all these documents, people was suggesting emigration, a final solution for a territory. They could use Ukraine. There was proposals to use bits of France, Madagascar, bits of Africa. There was even one proposal they should just use the central government of Poland and throw all the Jews in there. It's one big academic nonsense almost, because, and they do, and people often say, well, why is that so? Academics frequently believe in absolute nonsense because that's what they've been taught to believe. Remember, an academic is taught by another academic who passes on their ideas to them, and they then perpetuate their legacy. It's what Michael Burley, for example, has called academic incest.
Yeah.
It's this kind of idea that, you know, I produce the ideas of my Dr. Vater and so forth.
Right.
It's just, you know,
well, I call Holocaust studies an academic echo chamber.
Oh, it is. No, very much so. It's, you know, it's actually a very good way of putting it, because they don't come up with any new conclusions. It's all the same. You know, there's no fundamental challenge to that, you know, to that genre, that theory. all they're doing is trying to come up with reasons why they can't possibly have know why so many Jews were killed, or why there's so many survivors, or why, I don't know, they're coming down to Mauthausen, ate eggs for breakfast, whatever. Right. I mean, it's constant trying to find new areas to look at, and that's why they focus on this, in quotes, Holocaust of bullets, because it gets them away from the gas chambers, because for so long the gas chambers are their problem, because they can't justify them, not reasonably. And if they had been able to come up with definitive proof that the gas chambers were, you know, were existent, and they could find German documents or memoirs to support this, then yes. I mean, the classic example I often cite to people, to say, well, if you look at what at the German specialists who invited into to be the doctors of the camps, you'll notice there's a surprising convergence of what their specialism is. It's not in, you know, mass killing or anything to do with gassing deaths. It's to do with disease, because they were all hygienists. And the people that they're supposed to have, you know, observed all the killings were hygienists who, you know, it isn't their job to make sure someone wears a gas mask or have to dispose of bodies. It's more about, you know, disease control. And if you've got mass epidemics and you're dealing with, bear in mind that these Jews were in ghettos often before they'd come to the camps, and these ghettos were not nice places as a rule, because they were sort of a temporary short-term solution to the problem, and there was disease rampant in them. So what did the Germans do? The Germans said, okay, we'll ship you all out into camps, because in the camps we can control the disease, we can get it under control with conventional methods such as burning the corpses and, you know, and regimented hygiene and so forth. And if you look at the camps as kind of an extension of the ghetto policy, it makes an awful lot of sense, because that's all they're doing. They're putting them in camps so that they can both derive economic benefit from the Jews, so that they've got some help in the war effort, and they can also control the disease epidemic, which is potentially threatening population and potential manpower during the war. And so it makes a hell of a lot more sense than trying to claim that 8 million Jews were gassed as part of an intentional gassing program that in the middle of the biggest war in human history. I mean, it's just, I've never encountered anything quite like the Holocaust in my studies at all. And I think I have so many fights about this with people,
I want to ask you, you're talking about forensics and the technology of mass killing. I'm wondering if you've looked into the Holocaust as a psychological warfare operation. And if you have, is there any kind of reference book that you could recommend for me to go and look at it as where the propaganda... as a psyops.
As a psyops?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of one. A good book would be on anything to do with British propaganda during the period. I can't think of one off the top of my head that would be...
That Sefton Delmer's The Black Boomerang?
Yes, could be. You could do that. I mean, in some aspects, if you read a kind of opposing between the lines version of Jeremy Hart's The Jewish Enemy, which is about the opposite side, Nazi propaganda against the Jews,
yeah,
then you can actually see, if you reverse it slightly, you can begin to see what's going on in British propaganda at the time. I'd have to look one up and send it off to you, because I can't remember one off the top of my head that would actually be quite suitable. Okay.
All righty. Gentlemen, we do have a caller on the line. Let's go ahead and take the question. Let's take Jesse from Montana. Jesse, welcome to the program.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Go ahead.
I had two points I wanted to bring up, one on the subject and one that's off.
Stay on topic.
Okay, on topic. First thing I want to say is the victors write the history. That's a fact of life. And to me, the Holocaust and World War II kind of reminds me of the Civil War and what they did with slavery. And what they did was they changed the history and used people's sympathy to their advantage. And that's, you know, to me, that's what they did with the Holocaust, because in reality, what you learn in school, that slavery was, you know, what the Civil War was about, that ain't what the Civil War was about.
Correct.
They've pretty much done the same thing.
It's the normal thing in history, isn't it? Because everything you do, everything anyone does, the Romans did it, The British Empire did it. The German Empire did it in World War One. The Third Reich did it, of course, or would have done it. And the Brit and the British and the British, the Allies and the Communists all did it in, you know, World War Two. It just makes perfect sense.
If people just looked at reality and thought that the victors write the history, and just look beyond, you know, just because the United States wrote the history, look beyond that, you know. Who cares what the victors wrote? Start reading some other stories, you know.
But start reading
that's
both
all
sides.
I have to say. Yeah, read the other side of the story, not your own.
Right. Well, thank you, Jesse. Gentlemen, we are going to a break. We will be back after a word from our sponsors.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology. All while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit PureFectFilters.com.
Warning for all Gulf Coast disaster survivors. Be aware that dangerous gases are in the air you breathe. Benzene, hydrogen sulfide, methylene chloride, and Corexit 9500. Keep your body clean with micro plant powder. For all Gulf Coast residents and all who want to be healthy, hempusa.org brings you a new formulation of micro plant powder with lactobacillus acidophilus, rebuilding your immune system while detoxing the rest of your body, pulling out positive toxins, heavy metals, viruses, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Micro plant powder will help eliminate these dangerous chemicals from the body used in the Gulf cleanup. At hempusa.org, we want you to try our number one selling detox product, micro plant powder. Call and order at 1-908-691-2608. 1-908-691-2608. Or visit us at hempusa.org today.
Now more than ever, killing many viruses and bacteria in our homes and at work is important. With the flu epidemic running rampant, you need to protect yourself and your family the best you can with purified air. Our air purifiers not only kill many viruses and bacteria in the air, but on surfaces too. Our air purifiers will also kill molds, fungi, mildew, oxidizes chemical fumes and toxic gases, removes dust, pollen, pet odors, and smoke. We have portable units, HVAC and industrial size units. In our homes today, protect your family the best you can by calling 1-877-605-9200 or go to our online store at republicbroadcasting.org. Call today to receive your 10% off and free shipping on any home unit. 1-877-605-9200.
Welcome back. This is Deanna. And our guests today have been Charles Kraft, whose website is charleskraft.com, and Carl Rattle, whose website is SemiticController.blogspot.com. And I thank Jesse for calling in, and certainly we do need to read both sides of every issue in order to draw some conclusions of our own without being indoctrinated and brainwashed.
Isn't that the truth?
Yes.
And, I'd like to say that the opposite side of the Holocaust story, the non-academic received history, is kind of hard to run down. You're going to have to really look for revisionist literature. It's not readily available. You can't go into a bookstore and ask the clerk to direct you to the revisionist section because they don't have one. So anybody interested in this subject is going to have to do some home, some searching around to get the books that you need to understand what's going on.
You can just go to www.vho.org.
You can?
Yeah, that's got all the revisionist Holocaust handbooks on it for free as PDF.
Okay, let's repeat that. Let's repeat that for people that might be interested.
www.vho.org. All that is it's a Dutch revisionist web hub, and it has most of the books for free on as a PDF download. You can also purchase them from other online vendors such as Historical Review Press,
Inconvenient History is another website that people can visit.
Yeah, that's also a revisionist journal. It publishes once a quarter, and also has a blog which is written by people like Thomas Cuse, Williford Hick, and others on various different subjects in relation to the Holocaust and the mass killings, supposedly anyway. And there's an awful lot of information on there that, you know, is quite hard to find otherwise.
Well, let's tell them about the videos. There's 9 hours of videos that are available to watch. A person named Denierbud has put together an audio-visual presentation that will save people a lot of reading if they go to onethirdoftheholocaust.com.
Yeah.
9 hours of information.
Definitely worth watching those.
I think so.
You're not going to find any of these books on the New York Times bestseller list either.
You're not going to find them in used bookstores. You won't even find them in Barnes and Noble or any other chain bookstores. They're not allowed to be put on the shelf.
Exactly. And that should tell you everything about the censorship environment that we all live in.
Yep. And see, what's even better is the fact that it's revisionists who, by and large, who have led the historical scholarship, because the historians weren't even aware about the 6 million that had been used in the First World War and earlier, before revisionists began to bring it up.
Exactly.
That's just amazing, really.
Yes. Well, I thank you, gentlemen. We've had a wonderful conversation, and I'm grateful that both of you could join me today, and hopefully we can do this again. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jenna.
Yeah, thank you, Danielle.
Thank you. Bye-bye now.
All right.
Bye-bye, listeners. Talk with you tomorrow.